Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I am your host, Brian Scott. I want to thank everybody for joining me today, and we're going to talk about something super important. Over the last 2 years, I have been working on my new book, The New Earth User Manual. I became almost obsessed with the idea of the New Earth, what it meant, and its history, because I had felt like we were going through a revolution, a reality revolution. That's the reason I wrote my book. That's the reason I started my podcast. Clearly, there was something different happening in the world. And so you have seen my focus in many recent episodes. We have read from Quo. We read from the Law of One material. And the question is, what is the new earth? A lot of this material is vague and mysterious, and everybody has different ideas on what the new earth really is. And as I did more and more research, I came upon the understanding that it has to do with fields. One of the key things that you need to understand when you analyze anything is the law of one idea. That is, what you see here is reflected in everything. We see the swirling galaxy also reflected in the swirling atom. We see a reflection of everything in the microcosm and the macrocosm. So the idea of the new earth is not some crazy magical thing that happens. It is something that is reflected in nature and in space all around us. And what would that be? The idea is that you are a field. It is very easy living in this body to get the impression and the idea that you are the body and that's it, that you are your mind and that's it. Once you understand the concept that you are a field and you understand it, then what happens is you'll have a greater understanding of your role in the new earth. You are a field, a very complex field of cells, of energy that is integrated into a whole. For some people, that field is very small, and for some, it's very large. For a number of us together, once we have this understanding, and for many of us, this will happen accidentally. But as we expand our consciousness through our heart, we will reach a point where our fields will join into a singular field. This new dynamic is the social memory complex that is mentioned in the Law of One material. If you have not heard of the Law of One material or the raw material, it is a set of channelings given in the early 80s from a higher density being called Ra, who was essentially 3 billion years old and had gone through a level of evolution on the planet Venus. What we see all around us is evolution. The whole universe is evolving constantly. We have evolved. Everything around us is improving and evolving. You can see everything related to the metaphor of the spiral, the spiraling field that increases in intensity and density. And that is what we're seeing all around us. And what is happening on the earth is an experiment, a project that is both individualized and at the same time as a group consensus, we are expanding into a larger field together. Despite the fact for centuries, atoms were believed to be the fundamental building blocks of matter, science has now learned the basic substance of the universe is comprised of invisible quantum fields. A lot of my book is dedicated to understanding the quantum field and the way that quantum particles interact, the way that the mind can affect a quantum particle, in fact, turning it from wave into particle. What is a field and why is it important? One definition is it's a non-material pattern of energy that exerts visible influence. It's easy to focus on a single quantum particle, but if you look at the chair that you're sitting in or the couch or the desk in front of you and understand all of the elements around you, the matter around you is comprised of quantum particles that are vibrating in a pattern that is a field locked together, just like your body. So what's happening is the part of you that is in your body that you can sense with your senses, there's also parts of you that are outside of your body that are making up these quantum fields around you. You know about fields. You see them everywhere. The universe is made up of fields, which tells us about the mind and thought of the one true creator. There are gravitational fields. Obviously, the sun and the earth and the moon and all of the planets are rotating in gravitational fields that we cannot necessarily see with our eyes, but these fields are carrying the planets around the sun. There are electromagnetic fields that radiate from radio and TV transmitter antennas. Fields exist throughout space and time in everything. We must look at the understanding of fields to understand the new Earth concept and why it's important. Fields exist throughout space and time, and they are the medium through which energy is carried in the form of waves. It is from these fields that particles emerge. Fields in the universe are limitless in number and are endlessly flowing, being drawn toward or repelled from other fields. Research from Robert Jahn and Brenda Dunn of the Princeton Engineering and Anomalies Research Laboratory suggests that the realm of the mind, where thoughts are born, behaves much like a quantum realm of waves and particles. When electricity moves along a wire, it creates a field. So too, when a thought moves in mind, it creates a field. And when that field interacts with another field, a particle emerges and ideas take form. On a larger scale, all of us together form a single field, and when we do, we create the new Earth. The physicist David Bohm said, ultimately, the entire universe with all its particles is a single undivided whole, and the law of one material and a lot of other material indicate that we're moving towards this single undivided whole, an individual field, and we're moving from one field to another, and each field joins together. Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell stated that the rules of quantum theory apply to all matter. By extension, there is a resonance that lets us judge nature as wave-like, as field-like, as mind-like. Another physicist, John Wheeler, well known from Princeton, says that may the universe in some strange way be brought into being by the participation of those who participate the vital act of participation. And by doing so, we're creating this field together. We are co-creating the Earth now. We are existing in a co-created field of energies through the Earth and the Sun. Every step continues to scientifically verify the concept that the quantum realm is transitional between spirit and material world. So we can sometimes look to the quantum realm to understand what's happening in our material world and our spiritual world. It's sort of the in-between. By understanding the nature of this quantum realm, we can understand what the next steps are and how to interact within it. I suggest that morphogenetic fields work by imposing patterns on other random or indeterminate patterns of activity. The patterns that we're talking about that Rupert Sheldrake found when he studied fields, he called them morphogenetic fields. For example, they cause microtubules to crystallize in one part of the cell rather than another, even though the subunits from which they are made are present throughout the cell. Morphogenetic fields, as Sheldrake found, are not fixed forever, but they evolve and they change. The fields of Afghan hounds and poodles have become different from those in common ancestors of wolves. Claiming in his research that we are all existing as a morphogenetic field together individually and also together as a group. How are these fields inherited? I propose that they are transmitted from past members of the species through a kind of non-local resonance called morphic resonance. The fields organizing the activity of the nervous system are likewise inherited through morphic resonance, conveying a collective instinctive memory. Each individual both draws upon and contributes to the collective memory of the species. And this means that new patterns of behavior can spread more rapidly than would otherwise be possible. For example, if rats of a particular breed learn a new trick in Harvard, then rats of that same breed would be able to learn the same trick all over the world, say in Edinburgh or in Melbourne. There's already evidence from laboratory experience that this actually happens. In his book, A New Science of Life, Rupert Sheldrake documents this. The resonance of a brain with its own past states also helps to explain the memories of individual animals and humans. There's no need for all memories to be stored inside the brain. They are stored inside of fields. Drinvala Melchizedek indicates this when he relates that much of the magnetosphere may hold our memories. And in the past, astronauts found that they started losing their memories when they moved beyond the magnetosphere and actually had to create clip on their belt in order to maintain memories, because the memories we have, what's going on around us, is not occurring within our minds. It's in a field. So there's one field now that makes up the Earth. It is a morphogenetic field. And a new morphogenetic field is growing. We've seen discussion of this from other sources. Melchizedek talks about the creation of a new grid. And this grid is slowly creating this field of energy. And slowly, the Earth becomes like a cell that separates, like mitosis in a lab. Social groups are likewise organized by fields, as in schools of fish. Have you ever watched schools of fish moving together, or flocks of birds moving together without touching? Human societies have memories that are transmitted through the culture of the group and are most explicitly communicated through the ritual reenactment of a founding story or myth. We see it from Jewish Passover to Holy Communion or American Thanksgiving dinners. When we experience an event now that's related to a past ritual, it creates a field of resonance for people who have performed the same ritual before. I would even propose when we sing a song, we're creating a resonance from other times that we have sang the song. And even more so, we're creating resonance with all the people that have sang the song. That's why music can be very powerful. Morphic fields underlie our mental activity and our perceptions and lead to a new theory of vision, as discussed in Rupert Sheldrake's book, The Sense of Being Stared At, which is super fascinating, saying the existence of these fields is experimentally testable through the sense of being stared at itself. There's already much evidence that this sense really exists. I've discussed it before. You can take part in staring experiments yourself through a number of places. I can stare at you from behind where you don't know I'm staring at you, and you'll know when I'm staring at you. That is an experiment that you can just do easily. You just sit and stare at your friend when they are turned, and then you look away, and they can tell you when you're staring at them and not. It's pretty easy. The morphic fields of social groups connect together members of the group even when they are many miles apart and provide channels of communication through which organisms can stay at touch at a distance, and they help provide an explanation for telepathy. And there is now good evidence that many species of animals are telepathic, and telepathy seems to be a normal means of animal communication, as discussed in a wonderful book, Dogs That Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home. Telepathy is normal, not paranormal, natural, not supernatural, and is common between people, especially people who know each other well. A lot of my podcast has been dedicated to telepathic communication from other species to humans, and it's very easy for many of us to disregard that and say that it's ridiculous, or it's just somebody creating these words in their mind. But when we go out and look at the universe with our space telescopes and try to find radio waves, we don't find them. And I believe that's because most of the universe is communicating on a telepathic level, and we are not searching for telepathic communications. In the modern world, the most common kind of human telepathy occurs in connection with telephone calls. More than 80% of the population say they have thought of someone for no apparent reason who then called, or they have known who was calling before picking up the phone in a way that seems telepathic. Controlled experiments on telephone telepathy have given repeatable positive results that are highly significant statistically. As summarized in the book The Sense of Being Stared At by Rupert Sheldrake, and described in detailed technical papers as well. Telepathy also occurs with emails, as shown in a wonderful paper, An Automated Test for Telepathy. The morphic fields of mental activity are not confined to the insides of our heads. According to the Journal of Scientific Exploration in 2009, they extend far beyond our brain Through intention and attention, we are already familiar with the idea of fields extend beyond the material objects in which they're rooted. For example, magnetic fields extend beyond the surface of magnets. The Earth's gravitational field extends far beyond the surface of the Earth, keeping the moon in its orbit, and the fields of a cell phone stretch out far beyond the phone itself. Likewise, the fields of our minds extend far beyond our brains. They are self-organizing wholes. They have both a spatial and temporal aspect and organize spatial temporal patterns of vibratory or rhythmic activity. They attract the systems under their influence towards characteristic forms and patterns of activity, whose coming into being they organize and whose integrity they maintain. The ends or goals towards which morphic fields attract the systems under the influence are called attractors. The pathways by which systems usually reach these attractors are called creodes, and they interrelate and coordinate the morphic units or holons that lie within them, which in turn are wholes organized by morphic fields. Morphic fields contain other morphic fields within them in a nested hierarchy or holarchy. So we have a morphic field within us for each of our cells, and we have a morphic field that expands, and we are a morphic field, and then it goes on. They are structures of probability, and they are organizing activity. They contain a built-in memory given by self-resonance with a morphic unit's own past and a morphic's resonance with previous similar systems. The memory is cumulative. The more often particular patterns of activity are repeated, the more habitual they tend to become. Drawing on more than 5,000 case histories and 4,000 questionnaire responses and the results of experiments on staring, thought, transference, bone telepathy, and other phenomena carried out with more than 20,000 people, as well as reports and data from dozens of independent research teams, Sheldrake shows that these unexplained human abilities, such as the sense of being stared at, are not paranormal, but normal part of our biological nature. So the third density experience is that we are coming into a realization of our current situation and our awareness of our own individualized selves. You'll notice a lot of the New Earth material that I've read from Kuo and Dolores Cannon and the Law of One is talking about the self. And then it seems to talk about service to others. Really what's happening is an expansion of the understanding of the self beyond the body that we're in, into an understanding that our self is a combination of morphic fields. And when a social memory complex forms, it's like a new self is formed in conjunction with all of them. No, it's not the Borg, like in Star Trek. Each of the units are individualized in their own way, but at the same time create a field, very much like the school of fish, or the birds that flock together. That's on a very, very small level. We're talking about on a metaphysical level, so much more advanced, so much more complicated. Now, the reason that we have struggled with this is a very difficult planet to survive in this third density environment, especially with our political systems and our economic systems. It's all about individualized separateness. And so what happens when we're in this separatist mode that we are in, that we are just an individualized unit that is meant to be something greater? So the question is, how do we create this new earth? People will look back on 2012, there's so much discussion that we're going to have this big awakening and things are happening. What we understand about the new earth from the Kuo material and the Dolores Cannon material is that the sun and all the planets rotating around it is also moving around the galaxy. And as the sun carries us through different parts of the galaxy, it moves into a different part of space. I refer you back to the Walter Russell material. Walter Russell described light very effectively, understanding that really everything is coming from the same light source. It's just different spinnings. One is spinning one way and one is spinning another. You have protons, you have neutrons, and so they're all related together. And as we move into this new space, the electron is different, the proton is different, it carries more information. The light that we are interacting with, that makes up the matter that we have around us, has more information. It is dense with information. So the question is, how are we going to expand this field so that joint together, we can create this social memory complex? The key lies in the heart. All this information talks about an opening of the heart. And scientifically, we understand that the heart creates a toroidal field around your body. And it is limited in the size when you have things like fear or worry. And when you have an open heart, the toroidal field, which very much looks like the infinity symbol, all centered around your heart, will expand. With this new energy that we're experiencing, we're able to expand our field much more. So the real question is, how do we interact with this environment around us and extend our bodies out beyond our body? And one of the first things that we started doing is the Merkaba. The Merkaba gives us a sort of masculine perspective and understanding how our light body rotates and interacts, a combination of sun and earth, of negative and positive polarities interacting with the neutral polarity, spinning at different rates, very much like an atom does or anything else. That stuff doesn't have to be an essential understanding. The heart knows all the information about the Merkaba. For you to really interact with the Merkaba and for it to fully function properly, the heart has to be opened. Your heart opens up in a variety of ways. But to really get your full energy body and the toroidal field expanded fully, all of your chakras need to be awakened and your heart needs to be fully opened. And as it does, what happens, eventually these fields start to interact with each other. The reason we haven't seen a lot of big changes with the new earth happening is that there hasn't been enough people on this planet that have expanded their toroidal field in the right way, because we are all faced with fears, isolation, loneliness, without connection. So it's very hard for these fields to expand properly. Once we have enough people around the planet connecting these fields together, the fields become another single individualized field. So those are some key things to understand. Now, what are some things that you can do to expand your field and the aura? Well, there's a variety of things that I have used. You can use a yogic cleansing bath. That's very good. Just to remove the chemicals from your body, which in many ways can eliminate some of the energy systems in your body and can minimize them. So you can do a cleansing bath. That is always very helpful. Put some baking soda or a cup of salt. You can do that, or that type of thing can help cleanse your field. You can also do sage. Smoke from white sage is known by the North American Indians to be very cleansing. I use it all the time. I've used it successfully for a long time to remove negative vibes that I sense in my home around me. And so if you sage your body, you start to take away blocks in your energy field around you. Another thing that really feeds the aura is the sun. Lots of sunshine will feed and expand the field around you. Super powerful. Sea salt works. Going into the ocean, cleansing off blocks. Cold showers have the ability to clear away negativity in your auric field. Things that remove toxins and improve circulation, draws out tension from your body. If you are tense, worried, any of those things, it can awaken and open the heart. Sound medicine is great, using different frequencies. And I would definitely look at what different frequencies can be used and how it interacts with your body. Sound is recognized by many ancient cultures as a healing tool. The sound from Tibetan singing bowls and crystal bowls are well known for their ability to dissolve negativity and clean your energies. There's some crystals that you can use. Moldavite, I have personally found to be very powerful in allowing me to sense things beyond my body. Labradorite is a crystal worth a special mention. It has been shown by Curlian photography to heal tears in the auric field by preventing leakage. Holding a labradorite crystal for 20 minutes will last for 12 hours after the stone is no longer worn. Reduce your exposure to too much electricity. In many cases, radiation and frequencies which emit from electrical gadgets can interfere with our bodies and our own natural rhythms and cycles and well-being. Spending too long at close range to these man-made frequencies can build up static in your auric field. As we enter into this new field, one of the things that Quo says that doesn't interact with electricity very well, you may have had things where stuff that you have breaks down, computers break down. It could be because you're accessing these new fourth density energies. There's essential oils like vetiver or there's other crystals. Black tourmaline is great for deflecting radiation, is well known for transmuting negative energy from the aura. It's a protective stone that can help you with negative thinking. You also can use flower essences, different flowers. Be mindful of people and places that zap your energy. A lot of times your energy field gets limited by the people and the environment that you're in. You can actually live your life and push past all your problems and things holding you back and create your own ideal life by expanding the field of your heart. From inside your heart emanates an extremely powerful toroidal energetic field, and it has been scientifically measured to go out as far as 5 miles from your heart. So if we get enough people to move into their heart and expand their toroidal field 5 miles out, we can change the world. We can create the new earth. That's what they're waiting for. The heart's electromagnetic frequency arcs from the heart and back in the form of a torus field, which is the oldest structure in existence. Its shape is similar to a donut, with the whole center of it folding upon itself. The torus is said to define the workings of consciousness, such as consciousness having geometry. The energy of this torus is constantly refreshing and influencing itself. You have to look around everything. Toroidal energy fields exist around everything. People, trees, the earth, sun, and the universe. It is the key to everything, because your entire life is created by and from this place. Most torus dynamics contain two toruses, or tori, like the male and female aspects of the whole, one spiraling upwards and the other downwards. The heart generates the strongest electromagnetic field produced by the body. So when the heart is closed, it is not creating the toroidal field that would have any effect. If you're somebody that wants to, for instance, create your reality, influence the reality around you, you have a specific person that you want to fall in love with or make some money, you're not going to reach out into the field around you if your heart is closed. Have you ever met someone and just thought, wow, they have such a nice aura about them? Well, the human aura is shaped like a torus. The human aura is not a fixed shape. It is a continuous movement. Universal energy from all around a person streams into this dynamic form. When we've taught the Merkaba before, we see that it is a star tetrahedron, but really this field that we're in makes up all kinds of different geometries. The universal life energy field is infinite and unlimited. This is the reason that we're all connected. Within our bodies, each chakra, each acupuncture point, every energy center is a toroidal flow. It flows within itself. The human torus connects to a larger tori, which is part of our individual souls, and all tori are connected to a larger tori, which is the sun, and the sun is connected to a larger tori, which is the galaxy, and the galaxy is connected to all of source. The torus is the first scientific model that shows that we are distinct individuals, yet we are all interconnected at the same time. This is where human connection, love, and knowledge can take place. By learning the power of the toroidal energy and the universe, we can achieve stress relief, mental clarity, and deeper connection with others. We can use this intuitive connection to understand our soul's wisdom, as well as guiding us to who we truly are. When people hold genuine core heart feelings such as appreciation or compassion, it naturally increases their heart coherence. We've also come to know the intuitive energetic heart as our inner voice, sending intuitive information to our brain. The torus is the oldest structure in existence, and without it, nothing would exist. When we talk about the law of one, we see that everything is one thought. It's a fractal. We see everything on the large and small scale. It is the largest and the smallest. The torus is the oldest structure in existence. The toroidal form figures heavily in the esoteric study of sacred geometry, a metaphysical science that reveals how shapes and mathematical forms are primary underlying principles of manifestation. Tori are shapes, patterns of energy, regular waves. The torus is self-organizing. Self-organization is a process whereby an overall order appears from specific interaction between individual parts of an initially disordered system. The process is spontaneous and happens without control from an external force. The system inherently knows how to create order from chaos. The torus is the self-regulating primary pattern that supports life forms. What a torus looks like and how it interacts with vortices and other aspects of sacred geometry is the subject of much argument. Nassim Haramein, Marco Rodin, and others depict the tube torus within external vortices. They speak of the white hole as an emitter. As with all energetic, unseen constructs, we may only become acquainted with the real nature of the construct if we perceive it psychically. Dr. Walter Russell saw the structure psychically. Dr. Russell was an impressionist, American painter, a sculptor, philosopher, a musician, an author, a builder. New York Herald Tribune called him the modern Leonardo, a Renaissance man. Check out my previous episodes. I read a wonderful book called The Secret of Light, which will help you to understand the science behind this. He left a legacy that centers around his unique cosmogony or concept of the universe. He spent many years writing about the nature of humankind's relationship to the universal one and the various degrees of consciousness. His work appeals to those who are not only seekers but scientists, or those who see that there is no division that exists between science and spirituality. In May of 1921, Russell has this out-of-body experience he calls cosmic illumination. New knowledge was revealed to him in the light, as he put it. Debates with scientists in several books followed as he tried to explain his new knowledge. Russell's version of the structure of the torus, complete with the vortices and the zero-point sphere, releasing energy out into a plane, is known as an aspect of Russellian science and termed the spiral vortex model. Dr. Russell said that the vortices were male and female electrical generators, both spinning in the same direction. The tori within the vortices were tonal resonators. The organic laws of multidimensional physics is the genuine sacred science, and I believe his interpretation is the correct one. Essentially, it's not a tube that goes laterally. It goes up and down, and the zero point is in the heart. And so what we have is we have certain forces coming up into the heart, and then we have the toroidal field beginning at zero point in the heart, and then the forces move upwards above the heart, expanding outward. And right now, for most people, these forces are very limited and small. Once we open the heart and come into a realization of heart coherence, then this field expands. It's very important that you study heart coherence. I have a heart coherence meditation, and there is a number of great places that you can learn more about the heart. Heart Collaborative is a great place to look. Kyle Boyd is amazing, and he's doing amazing work on the heart. And I've also interviewed a number of people on the podcast. There are heart ambassadors out there, and the Heart Math Institute is utterly amazing. So I've made the case to you that you are a field. You are not your body. You are much more than your body. You are spinning vortices of sacred geometries existing well beyond your body, miles and miles beyond your body. In Dolores Cannon's work, she interviewed many starseeds where they realized their only purpose was to be here because they created such a large field that they would raise the vibration of the people around them. For instance, they go into a mall, all the people would be raised. I believe that as we access these fourth density energies, and some people simply are not able to, but there are some incredible people laid out on this planet in a grid in perfect locations, that as they access their heart energies and their hearts open up together, when we all start to open our hearts and expand in a loving way, moving out from ourselves. Part of that is a mental construct. We begin to think beyond ourselves, and in that process, our energy field expands. And as we do this, there's someone else that's 5 miles away from me. Our energy fields start to interact, and we create a pattern of energy fields around the planet that lock together and then create a sphere of energy locked into a grid of energy that literally creates an entirely new species. As Drinvalo Melchizedek indicates, there is a grid for each of the species on the planet, and we have been in an old third density grid. A new grid was formed, Christ consciousness grid, and as the toroidal field expands from our heart, then we can then have the new earth. Within this field, we can create whatever we want. The larger our field expands, the more that we can create. If you are selfish in any way, it tends to shrink the field because you're only thinking about yourself, and then that tends to shrink the field. You're thinking internally. So you can be somewhat selfish, but more so you need to be thinking outside of yourself for others. And as you do this, you create a pattern. By awakening the chakras, this field gets larger and larger. And because of the nature of the fourth density energies that have a greater density of information in each light particle, we start to expand and generate an entirely different field of reality and existence. There's going to be a tipping point, and that's when all these fields mesh and merge. Enough people have these fields mesh and merge into one. At that point in time, what will happen is a telepathic resonance will occur where we are aware of each other's feelings and actions, and we start to work as a whole. Individually, we're the same, but as a whole, we start to create a unique toroidal field together. Unfortunately, I do think that some of this is helped by being around other people. We've been limited. We live in our homes. We live in our phones. We're socially distanced all the time. But if we can start interacting with people together, and the more that we do this and the more people that have the new toroidal field and connecting to this higher toroidal field, that's when a new earth starts to form. And when in this new earth and within this new field, we have a new light body, we can start adjusting our bodies because this new light energy is powerful for us alone. But once we merge the energies together, that's when we can really change the universe. This is so powerful. This toroidal field creates a zero point within the earth, and then it starts to expand outward. The whole energy grid changes. The literal laws of physics start to change. Everything changes because we are accessing this energy. And for most people, they will never see this. Most people, as my sight has been awakened, haven't even opened their root chakra. Most people are scared, insecure, afraid. They're not rooted into the earth. And they have not even opened their root chakra, which is the bundle of energy waiting to be awakened. And as that moves, it coils up and moves up the body. And each of the different energy centers will move as a torus. And then together, fluctuating like a wave up into something greater. So it's important that you understand this concept. And we look at ways to expand this field of energy. I hope that you get a chance to check out my meditations, and I will definitely have a meditation coming up where I will work on creating this field together, and we can do it together. And if we do, we activate the new earth. Many people are on this planet just because of their ability to process and create huge toroidal fields. But 5 miles is not enough. We need a number of people to do this. So as more people do this in resonance, these energy fields will start to interact, influencing the pattern of the whole. And eventually, the new earth is created. So you are a field. I want you to remember that. I want you to become aware of the energy outside of your body. Start looking outside of your hands, an inch above your hand, and start really feeling it. Rub your hand along objects without touching it and see if you can sense the feelings of it. As our etheric astral body begins to expand and densify from these fourth density energies, we will have a sense that starts to form within this body. And it takes a little bit of practice and concentration in order for this to work. As the heart opens, You have to become interactive with your environment. If you see a book in front of you, find yourself in that book. Reach yourself out into that book. Reach yourself out into the TV that you're watching or your phone. I want you to actively start moving your mind outward into things around you in your environment. And as your field starts to generate, everything that you see around you is you. People interacting in your environment will have small toroidal fields, but they'll still be influenced by you. And slowly these energies will be influenced and move in their own energy fields, and it will change everything. But it's all about you. You are the person. If you can create this field, then everything else changes. Now, honestly, when I discuss this with my higher self, it's tough. This planet is in a tough place, and it rarely has ever happened in the history of the universe or situation like we are on our planet. It's possible. There is a timeline where it happens, but it's not looking likely. We need to work together to make this happen. It is our role and duty. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's our responsibility. Once we become aware of this, the higher intelligences haven't been able to tell us this stuff because that will violate our free will and the law of confusion. We have to come to this realization on our own. That we are not our bodies, that we are a field of energy, and that as we expand this field of energy, eventually you're going to be able to reach out miles and miles and be able to influence things like it's your hand. You're already starting to do it when you test and experiment the law of attraction. That's when you start to influence things around you beyond your body. And the more you start to do that, the more you will experiment that. That's why that stuff is so important. You are a field. So I would love to know how this affects you, if you are aware that you're a field that goes beyond your body, and if you have ways to expand your field. I definitely recommend that you look into Curlian photography. There's been research and experiment on Curlian photography where people have looked at, as we talked about earlier, crystals and different devices that can expand the field that we can photograph, which is a Curlian field. When we take a picture with a Curlian camera, we can see this field. It's one of the ways. There's even more to it. And there's going to be new cameras in the future that take pictures of different fields as we expand. But we are one field, and we are moving into a different field that has a greater density of energy. It is a part of the natural process of the universe. We see it in everything, and that's what we're a part of. We're making this possible, and we have to open our hearts. We have to let go of the fear because it immediately stops us. We have to let go of the worry and the hate and the anger because those are things that close our heart. Our heart is the active device that creates this field. So it's so important that we can use this field to create this greater new earth structure that we're slowly doing. And it means all of you, you're placed in a, right now in a town or city for a reason. And that's because your location is what is needed. And you're listening to this because you needed this information. Perhaps you're a star seed, or you're a walk-in, or somebody that's come from another galaxy just to help. And you have a special ability to expand this field. And you can do it with me. And together, as we become aware of this and we slowly work on expanding our fields will merge and we will become one superpower. It's up to you to continue this process of keeping your heart open, of loving, expanding your service to others, because as you do, your field will expand. As every single other self that you help expands your field of energy, and it will continue to expand as you give greater service. And it becomes a non-local situation where we don't necessarily have to be in the same physical location, but I do think that being around other people physically is still a good thing. That it will enhance our ability to increase and enhance these fields. Eventually, as we become more adept at this, we can non-locally create the field as well. So let me know what you think. In any case, all episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.